God's word for you, 1 Chronicles 18, verses 1 and 2. This chapter closely parallels 2 Samuel 8, and an outline I've borrowed from Dale Ralph Davis goes this way. The first six verses are four victories given by the Lord, then verses 7 to 11, spoils and gifts for the Lord, then verses 12 and 13, victories over Edom, also given by the Lord, and then verses 14 and 17 is a summary of really 1 Chronicles chapters 11 to 18. Now our text. Sometime after this, David attacked the Philistines. He subdued them and took Gath and its villages from the Philistines. He defeated Moab, and then the Moabites became subject to David and paid tribute. Ancient Gath was destroyed more than once during Crusader times. It was associated with the village of Blanchegard that appears several times in the history of Richard the Lionheart. And the modern site is known as Tel el-Safi, or White Hill, about 10 miles southeast of Ekron. The chronology of this verse is helped by the words, sometime after this. While some translations have in the course of time here, and then footnotes in those translations, such as the NIV Study Bible, declare that these events actually happened earlier, the Hebrew text clearly has something else. Acharei Ein, or Cain, rather, which means after this, both here and in 2 Samuel 8:1. David's subjugation of Gath, Moab, a place called Zobah, Damascus, and Edom, all took place after the transport of the ark into its tent in Jerusalem. Now, I proposed a general outline of David's reign with our comments on chapter 11, but I'm going to repeat the key portions here for reference. First, the early part of David's life, 1040 to 1010 BC, is followed from 1010 to 1003, David's reign as king in Hebron. Then from 1003 BC to around 992 are David's early years in Jerusalem, when the Ark was brought to Jerusalem and there were wars with many nations and our text today. Then the fourth part of David's life, from around 992 to 981, are David's middle years in Jerusalem, beginning with Bathsheba and ending with Absalom's rebellion. And then the fifth part, the final years of David's reign, 981 to 970, include Adonijah's rebellion. Now, Moab had once been friendly with David. His ancestress, Ruth, was from Moab, and his parents had been welcomed there during the troubles with Saul. That's in 1 Samuel 22. What had happened to make this to make David hostile to these people? Well, we don't know, but it's possible that because of a treaty with Ammon, they were drawn into war with Israel, and they lost. That happens in war. The war against Ammon is the backdrop of David's sin with Bathsheba, which is not described in Chronicles. The Moabites paid tribute to David. He did not wipe them out completely. The nation persisted through Old Testament times. There were Moabite and Ammonite women who gave Israel trouble as late as the time of the return from the exile. They're mentioned in Ezra 9 and Nehemiah 13. And Jeremiah devotes a long chapter, chapter 48, verses 1 to 47, on the Lord's judgment and wrath upon Moab for its idolatry. Moab will be ashamed of Chemosh, is Jeremiah 48, verse 13. And Jeremiah's contemporary, Zephaniah, also says, surely Moab will become like Sodom, the Ammonites like Gomorrah. That's Zephaniah 2:9. There is no reference at all to Moab in the New Testament. This passage helps us to see more of the ways God blessed David during this violent time. The physical enemies of Israel were conquered and brought into submission. Surely the God who did that for David, the apple of his eye, also gives his church spiritual victories over the enemies of Christendom. Rise up, O Lord, confront them, bring them down, rescue me from the wicked by your sword, is Psalm 17:13. For the Lord's two-edged sword is the word of his mouth. Some of the church's worst enemies come from inside the church, some from one corner and some from another. The popes of Rome sometimes brag about their authority over life and death by citing Canon 22, which says even if the pope murders countless souls, one should never say to him, "Why do you do this?" Others with the same title were immoral in the extreme, such as Paul III, who in his younger years prostituted his own sister to an earlier pope, Alexander VI, in order to become a cardinal. And he himself, who commanded that all priests should be celibate, had a wife and a son, and the son was later made into a cardinal. From another corner, the so-called Lutherans of the ELCA have abandoned Christ as the only path to heaven and have claimed that anybody who is true to his own religion has a way to everlasting life, and they have mocked and belittled the poor people who try to hold up John 14:6 and other correct passages, and they silence them by any means, from bullying to who knows what worse things. They are the sort of villains that Clement was thinking of when he wrote, "Do not associate with those who desire peace with hypocrisy, for with their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse." Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Rise up against the rage of my enemies. Psalm 7, verse 6. Do not be afraid of such enemies. Pray for God's people who are caught in their snares, and pray that they will escape through the truth of the gospel. But be encouraged by the words of Elisha the prophet, who said, "Do not be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. The mighty Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.